number one.
No, that's right. We can.
Messed me up a little bit. But I do want to give y'all something today.
I'm wondering what you would think if I would say, I want to give you a rock and I want you to eat it. What would you think if I would, do you want to eat this rock?
No.
Okay. Well, I got another rock here. How about this rock?
No.
Break your teeth. Okay. Well, here's a little bit smaller rock. Would that one, would you eat that rock? Okay. Well, it could, but it probably wouldn't taste too good. How about if I gave you a little rock that looks like this? Would you eat this? Can I pour a little bit? What is this? Oh, it's soft. But look, you feel it? It feels like little rocks, doesn't it? That's because this particular salt, if you eat that rock. That's because this particular salt is rock salt. It's from the rock. Did you put it in your mouth? And what happened to it? What happened? Yeah, you taste it, don't you? But what, did you chew it like you tried to do on this rock? If I give this to you, did you try to chew it? You want, okay. So you felt it on your, you feel it in your fingers. It feels rough, doesn't it? Like a rock does. And then you put it on your tongue, and it's a taste that you recognize. You know that taste. Did you have eggs this morning for breakfast? Did you have breakfast this morning? Apparently you did breakfast. You made your own breakfast. Yeah, you do remember breakfast now, don't you? I remember breakfast. I had scrambled eggs, and we put just a little bit of salt on our scrambled eggs this morning because it makes it taste better. Jesus tells us that we are the salt of the world. He didn't tell us that we're the granite rock of the world. And he didn't tell us that we were a big rock or a little rock of the world. He said we're the salt of the world. Because salt, although it's a rock, it's a mineral. It has a unique property that we can eat. And it actually tastes good. I know salt just by itself doesn't taste that good. But when we put it on food, when we apply it in our lives, it changes the way the world appears to us. Our eggs taste better, or I don't know, I'm kind of weird. I like to put salt on watermelon slices. Do you do that? Does anybody out here put salt on watermelon? Okay, there's some people to taste, I think. And it seems, the salt seems to enhance the sweetness of a watermelon. Try it this summer, and you'll think, well, that guy's not quite so weird as I thought he was back in February when it was cold. Salt helps us. It's a mineral that we need to live, but it also helps enhance what we eat and taste and makes it taste better. That's what Jesus wants us to be in the world. He wants us to be salt. Salt that enhances life for others and makes life better for others. So I'm going to ask you, when you go out into the world, to be salt. To be, not just be a big old funky rock, but to be salt that enhances the life of others. Blessings on you and your family. I appreciate y'all coming. Thanks. Will you take the bread tins and share those with us? Thank y'all. And would y'all look in the bulletin? I'm sure you saw this, the insert. This is our a rough report from our mission giving from the last year. You'll see on one side of it, it says mission giving through special offerings. And you'll see the month there, but these are our bread tin offerings. You see that remarkable number down there? We gave almost $12,000 last year through these bread tins right here. We gave $11,880 in bread tin offerings. And here's the breakdown of those offerings. We gave another $10,000 through special offerings. That's like the special envelopes that we have on a couple Sundays. We had Human Relations Day just a few weeks ago. And then also our special offerings, you see the Christmas Eve fuel fund service offering there, as well as other special offerings. And on the other side of that page, you'll see our budgeted mission giving. The first section there is what the mission committee budgets for giving. And then the second section there is
These are our mission givings through our apportionments. Because we're part of the United Methodist Church, we give to support the broader ministries of the United Methodist Church. And these are specific mission offerings that we give. You see, they're broken down into local. There's district missional engagement. There's Western North Carolina. There's international as well as national missions and ministries. So we gave $21,000 total as part of our budget for mission giving. And our total mission giving last year was $43,700. This is an amazing number for our congregation and our commitment to be salt and light in the world. I appreciate your commitment to giving and your commitment to giving beyond our budget and to giving and supporting ministries and missions locally, regionally, and internationally. Does anybody else have any announcements? Yep. Yes, ma'am.
The directories are here. You see some envelopes in the pews. If you would be sure to put your name on them. Last week someone donated cash, and there was no name on it, so we don't know who to give the directory to. The donations paid for not only the directories, but the name tags that we purchased for you. So if you'd like a name tag, if you'd like a directory, please put it in the envelope with your name on it, and the directions are on the envelope as well. And they're here, so if you paid last week for one, I can give you one today, and if you also want one today, I can give it to you as well. If you're like, they really came out nice. Marty makes all look wonderful.
I think you look pretty good by yourself. I guess Photoshop did help a little bit. Friends, let's turn to our prayer for illumination found on the bottom of the first page of our bulletin. Let's pray this together. Holy God, you know the disorder of our sinful lives. Set straight our wandering hearts and bend our wills to love your goodness and your glory in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Verses 1 through 12, page 647 in your pew Bible. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift your voice up like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. Delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, and you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. You shall be like a watered garden like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. For the Lord.
How I handled the light and the candle, and I
Have you planned on doing anything else other than just making an intriguing little video to send out to entice folks to come to the worship service? But I appreciate those of y'all who were willing to laugh at my lame attempts at humor. I had somebody one time tell me that they were very appreciative that I went into the ministry and not into stand-up comedy, because I would have more time. They actually gave me a book of jokes for preachers, and I still can't remember them. I can only remember two, and one of them is totally inappropriate to tell the church. And then I got to Brooks Howell and have lunch with Charles Pittman. Some of y'all know Charles Pittman. He comes occasionally, and he's a retired pastor from the Alabama West Florida Conference. And we're sitting around the table laughing all during lunch because he's telling these jokes. Most of them are rather corny preacher kind of jokes, but they're still funny, and we're laughing, and we tell him, stop, we're trying to eat our lunch here. And I can't do that. Jesus, in the scriptures that we heard last week, the scripture this week, and the scripture next week, for the next several weeks, we're in what's called the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is really changing the impression of what it is to be a follower of him. And it had to be a remarkable event to hear what he was saying that day. And it's still remarkable to read what he says now. Sometimes he makes it very clear for us, but sometimes he makes it so startlingly clear that it's a little scary. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. He's, I have to clarify that. We, my friends, we, those of us who are sitting here who call on the name of Jesus as Savior, we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. Now, you know, sometimes we use that phrase, the salt of the earth. Oh, they're just the salt of the earth. They're just good old folks. And sometimes when I use that phrase, I'm referring to generally somebody who's, well, country folks who still eat pinto beans and collard greens, and they cook them in the same pot, and that's what makes it really good. I think of several folks who were the salt of the earth in my mind. My grandma was one of them, another lady who was a mentor for me in the early years of my faith. They are the salt of the earth. I don't know if anybody would ever refer to me as the salt of the earth. They might say maybe the Texas Pete or the some weird herb or something. But Jesus is calling on us and saying that we are to live in such a way that we provide that flavor that enhances the world around us. I want to invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 38. Maybe there's a little post-it note on it. Somebody might last week have put, I'm sorry, page 38, page 34. Somebody might have put a post-it in your hymnal. This was one of the areas of our faith that I want to remind us about over and over and over again. That Jesus, when he's telling us that we're the salt of the earth, that we're the light of the world, this is how we can live into it. Look at these. These are our baptismal vows. Sometimes we, in the church, we only hear them when there is a baptism. And we don't have that many. We've had one since I've been here, and it was a wonderful event. And I read through these, and I tried to include all of us. But it's important for us to recognize that if we are to be the light of the world, look at the top of page 34, where it says, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you. Now this is our light shining. Does our light shine because we are actively, not just one time, but actively renouncing the spiritual forces of wickedness in our lives? Are we rejecting the evil powers of this world? And are we repenting of our sins?
Friends, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. If we are renouncing and rejecting and repenting, then our light is shining. Look at that next one. Are we accepting the freedom and the power that God gives us to not just do it once, but to actively be engaged in resisting evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they're presenting themselves in our world? As I saw a picture a friend sent it out of their church who was protesting their city's immigration or their city's homeless policies. They were trying to round up the homeless in their city and clean up the city streets. And this church staged a protest and marched down the street and behind a banner that says, "We are accepting the freedom and power that God gives us to reject the evil power, to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves in." And they named their city. This was a United Methodist Church who was taking their baptismal vows honestly, who were taking their opportunity to be light to the world honestly. We were working with a young man recently to hone his resume. He was applying to a college, and we helped a friend with a book on helping high school students, the first generation high school students, to apply to college and how to do that if no one in their family has ever applied to college. It's a daunting prospect. It's very expensive too, and so we were helping this particular family to do this, and he was saying that yes, he wanted to use his artistic ability. He was a musician, and he wanted to use his artistic ability to, and these were his words, to bring light into the world of darkness in people's lives. We asked him if he had been baptized, and we knew he had. And we asked him, said, "You know what the baptismal vows in our church are? Reminding us of our role to bring light, and that's accepting the freedom and power that God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves in the world." And he said, "That's exactly what I'm wanting to do with my music. I want to open up people's eyes and ears and minds and their lives to the evil, injustice, and oppression that's around them, and encourage them to fight against that." We said, "Because you've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you have that power to bring light to the world." Look at this next one. Do you confess Jesus as your Savior? Now, sometimes in churches like ours, we like to maybe not talk so much about Jesus, confessing Jesus as Savior, because sometimes very public Christians embarrass themselves when they obvious or they overtly profess Jesus as Savior and make it kind of a political movement or a political statement, and then they go and do things that are embarrassing to the faith. This is simply realizing that Jesus is the one who calls us to live like God wants us to live. And when we put our trust in His grace, and when we promise to serve Him as Lord, and again, that's a phrase that we don't like to use too much in the United States, because we look some churches have conflated the phrase Lord and Savior into one word. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? And it kind of scares us because we don't want to be like those folks. But if we call upon Jesus as Lord and Savior and we put our whole trust in His grace, then we can be the salt of the earth. Then we can be the light of the world. We can be the people and the church and the community and the group that changes the world because we bring the flavoring of Jesus' grace. And we do this in union with the church, which Jesus has opened up to all people. I've got a friend. I was talking to this friend the other day, and they were telling me how there's some folks in that particular church, actually there's some children in that particular church who are going and telling the other children that Pastor so-and-so doesn't believe in the Bible because the pastor had said that the church was open to all people and that this child was obviously repeating what the child heard from the parents and was saying that the pastor wasn't a Christian because the pastor confessed Jesus as Savior and Lord and was trying to do what Jesus commanded the pastor to do. But we don't do this by ourselves. Do you see that? We don't have to be salt by ourselves. The salt here, it is shaker. I mean, the grains of salt themselves are almost microscopic. But if we look at those, if we take out one, we're not going to experience the saltiness of one little tiny grain of salt from here. But taking this together, this salt could flavor a whole stew. This salt could change a whole meal. Us together as the church can change the world. We can be the salt of the earth. We can be the light of the world because of Jesus. Now, friends, look at that next one. Will you nurture? This is a question that's asked to parents, but also asked of us in our baptismal vows. Will you nurture these children in Christ's Holy Church? Now, here's the phrase that should scare us completely down to the bottom of our toes. That by your teaching and example, my friends, we're asked as members of this church that by what we do and what we say, we will help raise the children of this church to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. We, by our teaching example, by our salt and light, by what we do in our lives, in our world, in our church, we will lead children into a growing faith of Jesus Christ. Now, I have to bring up some really scary things right here that I wanted to bring up as a prayer request earlier, but have forgotten, or at one Sunday I felt that I really couldn't pray for this. We've received a phone call from a friend not too long ago, a clergy person who's requesting, or who's had to take a leave of absence from their church because their child has been admitted to be under suicide watch. And it was the second attempt, and it was very close. And this clergy person was having to take a leave of absence. And that really scared us because earlier in the fall, we had a call from a friend, a clergy person, who asked us to pray for them because their child had to be admitted because they were under suicide watch. And that really scared us in the fall because earlier in the summer, we received a phone call from a friend who asked us to pray for them because their child had to be admitted to be put under suicide watch. These are three that we know, three of our friends in the Western North Carolina Conference. In Western North Carolina, United Methodist Church, three clergy children, teenage children, are under suicide watch. And their parents are having to take leaves of absence from their work, their ministry, to be with their children. I know of other in Western North Carolina Conference whose children succeeded in clergy couples' children who succeeded in their suicide attempt.
I know several of those. I know several children of clergy who are engaged in behaviors that are unsafe and are dangerous. And I know of two children who were raised in the church, who Beth and I worked hard to raise in the church, and who participated from birth until they went off to college in 8 different United Methodist churches. And when we, and well, they don't go to church now. They go to church when they're home for Christmas, and they came and sat here among you. But they don't go to church. And when we ask, why don't you go to church? We find churches near them. When we're there, we take them to that church and talk to the pastor and try to introduce them to the church. And they say, no, we know what the church is like, and we don't need the church now in our lives. By our teaching and example, that our children may be guided to accept Christ's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. Now, I know that our children lead a Christian life. They give their money away. They volunteer their time at homeless shelters. They work to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves actively in their lives. They don't do it in the church. We're called, my friends, to be the light and the grace and the salt and the presentation of faith in Jesus to the world. We've done that. Look at this remarkable list of how we give of ourselves. Gosh, one of the ways that we are called to be light and salt in the world is by giving ourselves in the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service and our witness. And you, this very moment, are doing this by your presence. You're going to do it in just a moment with your gifts, by putting your gifts in the offering. We see it here by $43,735 that we gave to missions and ministries locally and around the world. And I know many of us offer and volunteer our services at ABCCM and the Crop Walk and Habitat and Haywood Street. And I've seen some of us at Haywood Street and with Helpmate and with Manna Food Bank, and I know some of us deliver Meals on Wheels, and I know we do a lot with Room in the Inn. I don't know about UNCA Wesley Foundation, if we do anything with them or not. I know we give money for UNCOR, and I'm sure some of us have volunteered with volunteer submission to go and help during after disasters with UNCOR. But we saw that when we give ourselves, Isaiah says, look, you can do all this church stuff that you want. You can show up on Sunday mornings and you can even put money in the offering plate. But if you're not giving of yourselves, is not this the fast? Or is not this what we would say, the Christian life and the example and the salt and light that I choose, that you loose the bonds of injustice and undo the thongs of the yoke, and you'll let the oppressed go free, and you break every yoke? And is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. I was in the bank the other day talking with the teller, and we were just chatting, and I was trying to get some smaller bills. And she said, well, not many people want the smaller bills. And I said, well, I give those out to the panhandlers on the street. And I could see the teller at the window beside me. Her head popped up. She was actually helping somebody. And her head popped up, and she started listening to me. And I said, yeah, we've got some friends that are down here on the Smoky Park exit. And actually, his name's Smokey, and his wife's Wanda. How do I know that? Because I talk to them, and I give them money, and I actually give them food, and I give them rides, and I pick them up, and I bring them down. They're not homeless. They have a home. It's a slum. It's a trailer where the rain comes in, and they live for 3 months without a water heater. And where Wanda said, for Valentine's dinner, all I want is a Stouffer's lasagna with some some Caesar dressing with bacon bits. And I said, well, we can get that for you. Meet us at the Ingles and we'll buy you a snow fruit lasagna that you can heat up. He said, why do you do this? He said, well, the first time I picked him up, so we've been standing out here in the rain for an hour and a half, and you're the first person to stop. Sometimes I get people who throw things at me. Not money, but they throw like cans at me. And they throw full bottles at me. Sometimes they're beer bottles to try to hit them. And I had somebody park their car at the exit one time and got out and started beating him up because he was panhandling. And I said, because I love you and I care for you and I'm the light of the world and I'm the salt of the earth. Friends, is this not the life that I want you, Isaiah says, that you loose the bonds of injustice and do the thongs of the yoke, and that you let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is this not the life that I want? That you share your bread with the hungry and invite the homeless into your house, and you cover up the naked with your own clothes. Then your light will shine, and then we will live into our baptismal vows to resist injustice, evil, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Friends, let's turn in our hymnals to our middle hymn, number 472, and sing how we can live near to the heart of God. Let's sing together. This place of quiet rest, we bring our prayer concerns We bring our concerns that are written in the bulletin. We bring the concerns that are written on our heart. We bring the concerns that are before us in your word. We ask you to lead us and to guide us. We see. We pray first for those in our community. We pray for Melanie and for Helen, for Jack and Jamie and John, David and for Kathy, for Mary, for Eleanor, for George, for Grayson and for Carol, and those who are sick, those who are recovering, those who are in treatment. We ask for your spirit of grace, peace, healing, wholeness to the sin. We pray for the homebound members and friends of our congregation, for Merle and Betty and for Ray, for Carol and Debbie and Grace and Charles, Sarah, Virginia, and for Juanita. I give you thanks for the opportunity to share communion with many of those folks this week. It was a joyful event where we gathered together as a small group, reminiscent of this group that gathered together in communion last week. Continue, as we pray then, to pour out your spirit of grace and peace upon them with your love and your presence. We pray for people within this congregation to join with me in sharing in communion with those who are homebound and those who are unable to come. We pray for the extension of the table of grace reaching out into our community. We pray for the extension of the table of grace to people like Smokey and Wanda, who the only way they can raise money is to stand at the interstate exit and to ask for money from people who are disabled in body and spirit and mind and are unable to hold down a job. We pray for those who drive by and see and wonder, well, what would the money go to? We're reminded of what the scripture says. Is not this the Christian life? And I want you to choose to loose the bonds of injustice and undo the thongs of the yoke and to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Gracious Lord, we pray for your spirit to descend upon our church, this church right here, and upon our church, the United Methodist Church, and upon the church, your church, the Christian church, gathered around the world, so that our light shall break forth like the dawn, and healing shall spring up quickly, because we are acting in your name to bring healing and wholeness and justice, and we're resisting evil, whatever forms they present themselves. So send your spirit upon us, upon our prayer requests and our hearts. Those that we lift up to you, upon these that remind us, these scriptures that remind us of our broader call in the world. Send your spirit upon us. We pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray together this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. As forgiven and reconciled people, we have the opportunity to offer ourselves, to offer a portion of our salt and our light to the world. Let's give thanks for what we can do.
be the salt of the earth. Help us to be the light of the world and to use these gifts to show the goodness of your grace and give a taste of your glory. We offer them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, let's join together in hymn number 206. You'll remember this hymn from our Advent services. It's reminding us where our light comes from. Let's join together in singing, "I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light."
Beautiful to rock, yeah. You, my husband.